I said, go. Jesus said, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Even to the end of the age. Amen. So, observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. He said that will be the leading of the Spirit, right? Was that what we said? Leading of the Spirit. Now it means that I am with you. I am with you is an exodus fact of God leading them out. We saw that. An exodus fact of God leading them out. So we said leading of the Spirit is what should be taught. Because God always leads us. Right? So that's what we're looking at. God always leads us. He doesn't leave us halfway. He always leads us. God always leads us. I said that because He always leads us. So someone says, what if does God leave? No, His leading doesn't leave. God doesn't leave. Do you understand? He always leads us. He always leads us. Now, we said, one thing the believer ought to do is how to recognize that leading. And it's very vital. You see, you don't know the extent of how what that statement is. Many times you don't know the extent of what that statement is to recognize it. Amen. It's not enough to just know that God always leads me. Amen. It's not enough. You have to recognize that leading. Especially in a world like ours where there are a whole lot of noises. Some people listen to noise and think it's the leading of the Spirit. That's why it ought to be taught so much. Amen. Because the same mind you need to receive the leading. Because I said, what you need to receive the leading is your mind. The same mind you need to use to receive the leading is where every other information goes into. So that means you could have tongues around it. You have noise around it. Therefore, we said, the reason why scriptures will teach you to renew your mind. You have a duty, a responsibility towards your mind. We said that, right? We have a responsibility towards our mind to renew it. Romans 12. 2. He said, don't be conformed to this, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we have a duty towards our mind. Proverbs chapter 4. He said, guard your heart with all diligence. So out of the for out of it are the issues that govern life. Guard your heart. The heart there is referring to the mind. Out of it are the issues that govern life. Because God will lead you through your mind. So you have to recognize the leading of the Spirit. Amen. He will lead you through your mind. So there are a lot of noises in the world. A lot of noises everywhere. But yet, God is still leading you. So we said, when He said, guard your heart, He places on us the duty of a man at the border. So we have to keep a check on our mind. And it's not something you do once in your life and say, okay, I've done a check in my mind. No, you don't need to do all the time. We have a daily responsibility to keep a check on our mind. A check on our mind. And then we'll do a scan. Also, I said that. We'll do a scan to take out the noises, to take out those things that will become hindrances. Because God will always speak. I gave you an instance with Kenneth Hagin. He said there was a time like that. He had a vision with the Lord. And in that vision, he said the Lord Jesus was speaking to him. And there was a demon that came around and was making noise. Amen. Was making noise. He discovered something. He said, God did nothing about it. That the Lord did nothing about it. He just kept talking. And that's what leaning on the Spirit is. God will just keep saying what He's saying. So he was looking up to Jesus. He was looking up to the Lord to do something about this disturbance. And it's not that the Lord didn't do anything. He just kept talking the way He was talking to him. And then he got angry and told the devil. Now, that's in his group, the Believer's Authority. Then he spoke to the demon to leave. You see, he spoke in the name of Jesus to the demons to leave. And the demon left. And he then asked the Lord a question. He said, why is it that you did nothing about it? He said, He won't do anything about it except you do something about it. So that means God won't do anything about the noises except you do something about it. Amen. He won't do anything about the noises. So we have a responsibility to do something to the noise. You keep it out. You push it out. Hallelujah. You push it out. How do you push it out? By renewing your mind with God's word. You renew your mind all the time with God's word. God's word. God's word. Hallelujah. God's word. All the time. Hallelujah. 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 So, question I want to ask, that I ask in the course of the teaching is, what if I've done something wrong? What if I've done something wrong? Will God leave? Amen. What if I've done something wrong? Will God leave? Will the leading stop? We said no. God's leading doesn't go. Hallelujah. God's leading doesn't go. And we know the background to God's leading in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3. Right? Genesis 1, chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 3. Amen. You have the background to not just scripture, but also to God's leading. Hallelujah. So when God said, let there be light, is leading. Let there be light, is leading. It's leading. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord brood over the surface of the water. He's leading. God wants to lead men. Hallelujah. God wants to lead men. God wants to lead men. Heaven and earth is leading of the Spirit. God wants to lead men. See, the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 40, as many as are led by the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Referring to the new birth, not just the new birth, the believer's everyday life. God leads us. He wants to lead us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our lives in general is His leading. So we said, in His leading we have an impulse, right? We have an impulse to recognize and to obey. To recognize and to obey. So we began looking at a few things in the course of our study. We're looking at, how does God lead us, right? How does He lead us? We said He leads us in a simple way with the written word, right? With the written word. We looked at that, the written word. The written word is God's leading to us. Knowing the written word is knowing what God is doing, is knowing His leading. And we said, it looks general because I can't find specifics there. Right? It looks general. It doesn't like it looks, it is general. But in the general, you will draw the specifics. Did we say that? Did we say that? Hallelujah. You will draw the specifics. You will see the specifics. Hallelujah. Something else you have to see is something we saw in Acts of Apostles chapter 16 when they were about to get into Asia, that the Spirit of the Lord forbade them from preaching in Asia. Hallelujah. He forbade them from speaking the word in Asia, and then they had to go to Macedonia. Right? Hallelujah. So they had to go to Macedonia. And when they went to Macedonia, now, it was also by leading that they went to Macedonia, right? They did what is called a Sunday Bible. It's something we would have to look at. Now, they did a Sunday Bible, which is they look together. Now, and this is what we should do for prophecy. Hallelujah, when it comes to prophecy. We'll do like a summary over time. A summary. Summary. Because you have to look at all the prophecies you've had within a while to see what is God saying. You see the similarity. You can summarize your all the prophecy you have had in 1 year into a statement, into a sentence. Hallelujah. It's called from the Bible. Now they are at that crossroads where they wanted to go to Asia. Right? Where they wanted to go to Asia. And then the Lord forbade them. But I thought, is going to all the world. I think I've explained that in the course of this teaching, what it means. Hallelujah. It's all the word, every man's word, but at the same time too, there might be specific. There might be specific places the Lord will have you go at specific time. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that going Asia is cursed. No. Because they still went back to Asia. In fact, Paul warned souls in Asia. In fact, the whole of Asia was gotten. Hallelujah. By the time you get to Acts of Apostles, I guess that should be chapter 19 into 20, the whole of Ephesus was taken. The Bible says, so mightily grew the word. Acts 19, 20. So mightily grew the word and prevailed. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So, and Ephesus is Asia. Hope you are with me. But God forbade them from going to Asia. Why? God forbade them. God didn't say, you are not going to preach again. No. He forbade them means He stopped them from going, so they went around. Right? Why are they going around? They had prophecy. Look at what Paul will do in Acts 16. I need you to see this. Acts 16. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 9. It says,
And the vision appeared to Paul in the night. They took a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over unto Macedonia and help us. Now, Paul didn't just wake up the next morning and say, okay, let's go to Macedonia. No. He saw that vision, and look at what he did in the next verse. Amen. He saw that vision of Macedonia. And then the next verse, and this is what you call witness to the leading of the Spirit. You have to put it to witnesses. Amen. Hope you're with me. Hope you're with me. He saw a vision. He didn't just jump. That's why I say you can't be faster than God. You will miss God more times when you are faster than God. Many times. Even all the time when you are faster than God. You can't be faster than God. It's called the leading of the Spirit. He's the one leading you. The one who is leading is in front. Amen. Maybe that you just want to do things in a hurry. Glory to God. Look at verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia and suddenly gathering. Now that word, suddenly gathering, there's where you have the word zombie Bible. Zombie Bible means to bring facts together. And suddenly gathering that the Lord has called us to go, for us to preach the gospel unto them. And suddenly gathering means he picked all the prophecies together. He has put prophecies together. Oh, no wonder there was this vision. Did you see that? This is where God is sending us to. So you have to put the vision also that he saw to what witness. Hope you are following me. He put it to witness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And I thought to witness it to the leading of the Spirit the last time. Hallelujah. So you have to put it to witness. Two or more witnesses. So there were prophecies around that. So, the Lord is sending us to Macedonia. Hallelujah. So I said to you that you must always do this. Because in the prophecies, and you should always also do it as a cell, as a PCU, always. Know what the Lord is saying to you. Amen. So you cannot have a Holy Ghost meeting. Have a Holy Ghost meeting. Amen. Just speak by the Holy Ghost. Speak by the Holy Ghost. You can drop, this is what the Lord is saying. Hallelujah. As the pastor. You can draw it over a wall. Amen. Just over a wall. Okay, this day, this is what the word, this day. Oh, the Lord is sending us this way, this route. This is it. Amen. Amen. That's intelligence. Intelligence to walking with the leading of the Spirit. Hallelujah. But they went straight to Macedonia. But you know what? God led them to Macedonia to pray because that's where Paul was mightily helped. Macedonia. So Macedonia financed Ephesus, financed Asia. You see that? So God led them to where they will receive finance for the work. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. First. So you can close your eyes and you know the truth. God, they still went back to Asia. Glory to God. So the written word. You see, in the written word, you find the specifics. We also talk about prophets. That's what we just seen. The prophecies. We spoke about how God leads us via prophecies, utterance, right? With prophecies is utterance, revelation, right? Revelations, utterance. Revelation will include also visions, dreams, and the like. Hallelujah. We also include word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and the like. We also said, we also leads us through our pastor, which is in quote the local church. God leads us via the local church, the pastor, via your local church. Amen. Amen. Via your local church, your pastor. And I gave you an instance, right? I said, see, even if once you're in a local church, God has, that is God's leading for you. Amen. So your pastor says something to you by the Holy Ghost, says something to you, or what he says is by the Holy Ghost. When he says something to you and you are waiting for witness to your pastor's leading, you are looking for darkness and you will fall. I said there are times you don't look for witness to the leading. Amen. Amen. When God is speaking to you through your pastor. What are you looking for again? What if my pastor is wrong? Well, follow him. You'll be safer. Amen. No, you don't know. Follow your pastor. You will say, I followed my pastor. So when I say, what about the major prophet and the minor prophet? That the minor prophet listened to the major prophet and died. I say, well, that is not his pastor. Amen. That is not his pastor. There's a difference. There's a big difference. You can't equate that to a local church. Hallelujah. That is, you listen to someone that is not your pastor. And gauging that person's words over your life more than that of your pastor. Glory to God. And I gave you an instance of Moses. Moses made a mistake. We can see it today and say, Moses, but you're the one that said, do not do this, but you went to do it. And at the same time, too, where two people that were head of church now began to revolt. What did God do? God didn't even mention what Moses did. You have to deal with them. Because God leads you via your local church. Amen. You leads you via your local church. Hope you are with me. Amen. And it doesn't also mean the pastor should misbehave. No. It shouldn't mean that. It's not a right for a pastor to misbehave towards the congregation. Hope you are with me. Don't give a pastor any right to do that. But you know what? God leads you via the local. Amen. You have to have, we need to have strong emphasis on the local church in these days and in this time. Hope you are with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said I don't need noise though. I said it. Amen. Amen. So let's go forward. He also leads us again via the inward witness. And this is where this is a core of what I've been showing us in the past few weeks. Amen. The inward witness. Because at this day and age, it's time for us to pay attention much more to the inward witness. This day and age. Much more. For us to pay attention to the inward witness. Because God leads us at the inward witness. The inward witness is the primary way God leads us. Primary. What do I call it? How I put it? Primary way God leads us. But there was no inward witness. At least God led them with prophecy in the Old Testament book. Led them with the written word. Right? Joshua 1:8. We saw it. Led them via the pastors, which is the prophets. The kings, right? In the Old Testament, because the pastor is, which is the local church, is the local church, the pastor is the king. So what about the inward witness? How did God lead them in? Can you expatiate that from the Old Testament book? Someone can ask you. Where is the root word? Where is the background word of inward witness? Abi? Right? Where is the background? Can we find it somewhere? Funny. Also, I said God also will speak to you, before I get to the word, will speak to you audibly, right? You hear from him audibly, you can hear from him. Hallelujah. But that is not the primary way. The primary way is inward witness. And inward witness is not God speaking to you. Differentiate it. Amen. Amen. Even when you hear God speak to you, you have to subject it to witness to the living. Think about someone that met Pastor Chevron and then he said, the Lord told her this and that and that and that and that. And he knew that that was not the Lord, but he can't tell her that was not the Lord. If not, people attach emotion to that. Are you saying God is not talking to me? Emotion. Now, rather than curing something, you will have made somebody lose something. Amen. Amen. The person can just close up and say, God doesn't speak. So that's why a pastor must have the wisdom of God to lead. So, he just kept teaching the person God's word. Amen. He kept teaching the person God's word. You know, I heard that too from Bro Hagin. He said the Lord told him that whenever, even if a being appears to him to tell him anything, he should always show him from the written word. You see that? Show me from the written word. He said there was a time like that the Lord appeared to him and was telling him some things. He just said, okay, show me from the written word. Amen. Who is the Lord? And if the Lord didn't get angry, just smiled and showed him. Amen. 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 But when you say you saw a vision, the Lord told you this, and then you open scripture, you can't find it there. In fact, you are seeing the contrary to what you heard. Or God threw it away. So not the Lord that spoke to you. Say, no, who spoke to me is the author of the scripture. Are you okay? You know, people say that rubbish. He's the author of the scripture.
He's the master of the scripture. So he has given me insight to what is written beyond the letter. Are you okay? Jesus himself subjected himself to Moses. Jesus is God. Subjected himself to what Moses wrote. Amen. So that means God today will subject himself to what is written. Hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. So you just have to place it under leading of the Spirit. Or witness it to the leading of the Spirit. So the lady spoke and then he just kept teaching the lady God's word. So one day, while they were talking, they stopped somewhere, and I think he said it was close to a mosque. Right? So he just sat somewhere and the lady now said, "With all these things you taught me, sir, I think what I heard was not the Lord." The pastor now said, "I wanted to tell you things, but I didn't know how to tell you, so I have to teach you." This is how you don't see that it was not God. Because God wouldn't have said that. So that means many times too. I heard this from a preacher. He said, when you get to things of the Spirit, you must understand the fire, they are noisy. Amen. They are noisy. Different, in fact, I don't want to put it like when it comes to the things of the Spirit. When it comes to our mind, listen now. When it comes to our mind, I don't want to put when it comes to the things of the Spirit for a reason. When it comes to our mind, there are noises everywhere. Amen. There are noises everywhere. Noises everywhere. So that means when I hear, look at Samuel. Samuel heard the Lord and he went to meet with Eli. That's the wise thing to do. Amen. Amen. God called him. He went to meet Eli. Meaning the Lord will use familiar voices, familiar persons. Right? The voice over you to speak to you. But at the same time too, it must be subject to what? Subject to what? Witness to the leading. Don't forget that. Even when it comes to the voice of the Lord. Hope you are listening. Okay, let's get back to the inward witness. I'm trying to run through this very fast. Even when it comes to the inward witness, there is such a thing as, okay, you ask, where is the background, right? Right? Where's the background? Where is the background? Okay. Well, we'll see a few things today. In the Old Testament books, right? God, they would have the inward witness. Amen. But how was it like? How would God speak to them via the inward? When I said, the inward witness works with to accept or to what? To refuse. Right? I mean to endorse or to refuse, accept or to what? Reject. Facts that I expose to you. Don't forget it. So we say it's the witness of the spirit of the man born again. Right? That either accepts or rejects, endorses or refuses facts that are what? Exposed to it. So that means one, you have to expose facts to it. Amen. Expose facts to it. Now I said it works with the I like to put it this way, with the noggins of the Spirit, right? Noggins. It is a non-verbal leading. I said it. You will hear your voice. But you will bear the emotions of the Spirit. Romans 8. Right? Romans 8. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans 8, 16. That we are the children of God. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Hallelujah. Some material is used for a joint witness with our spirit that we are sons of God or we are children of God. Sons, children, okay? They mean technos of God. So that means every believer have the inward witness. Just that many people have neglected it. So they will find it also in the Old Testament book. Now, they had it like as a shadow. Like as a shadow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You can pause this for now. Amen. I felt 19. I'm not going to get into the historical events around the epoch. Right? Because it was a culture in their world. Take it and take it. In their world first. The guy who was... Should I say it? No. In another teaching. On this. Amen. But you just know what the report is. So Exodus chapter 19 verse 6.
What did God want?
What was God's, what was God's plan?
He says, and that shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. Now put it a nation of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak on the children of Israel. So, listen. God wants all of them to be to him a what? Nation of what? Priests. But yet, Moses will also give them the priesthood. Right? Aaron and the Levites. Right? Right? Are you with me? Why? To show them, this is what God wants you to be. Right? So, hope you are with me. Hope you are with me. To show them what God wants them to become. So that is, please put it somewhere. So that means anything you find in the priesthood is what God wants from the whole Israel. Is that it? Is that it? Is that it? Okay. Is that not just Israel? So the priesthood is a symbol for Israel, right? Right? Are you with me? Is that, what is this word again? Eupodegma. Is that eupodegma for the children of Israel? Right? And for what today? What is an eupodegma to us? Priesthood, Israel to us. Did you see that? Right? Right? That means we see the priesthood. The children of Israel sees it for themselves. We see the priesthood in the children of Israel for ourselves. Did you see that? Hope you are with me. So let's see something. In Exodus 25, where Moses was dealing with the tabernacle, verses 7. See, I want the tabernacle, right? And offering, when they were to make him an offering. Now, top of verse 3. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them, gold, silver, and brass, and blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat hair, and ram skin, dyed red, and badger skin, and shooting wood, oil for light, he says, spices for anointing oil, for sweet incense. He says, oil stones, and stones to be set in the ephod, and in the breastplate. So he used the word ephod. Amen. Ephod. Hope you are with me. Now, look at chapter 28. Let's see a bit about the ephod. The ephod. It's ephod. E-P-H-O-D. As you can see. Chapter 28, verses, I was reading from verses 3 into 4. It says, when thou shalt speak unto all, when thou shalt speak unto all that are white hearted, whom are filled with the spirit of wisdom. Right? Who are they? Verses 1. Take unto thee thy brother, unto thee Aaron thy brother, watch it, the sons with him, from among the children of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Can you see that? Can you see that? And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty. You see that? He said you make holy garments. Now when he put on holy garments was to show holiness. You see that? Set apart. Hope you are with me. Set apart. He has been set apart. Now that is the priesthood. The priesthood is set apart. Hope you are seeing it. Verse 3. And thou shalt speak unto all that are white hearted, whom are filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, and he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Did you see that? Did you see that? Priest's office, verse 4. And these are the garments which thou shalt make, a breastplate and an ephod, and a robe and a broidered coat. Did you see that? So, part of what Aaron will wear as a priest is an ephod. I was trying to explain the ephod to my brother yesterday, and I tried to explain it to him using the Roman Catholic and the Protestant, which is the African garment, to explain what an ephod is and why they have to wear what they wear, but they are all shadows. Hope you are with me. Amen. Understand that the garment was to point to set apart. You see that? Was to show he set apart for that office. Hope you are with me.
So is a garment, should we go ahead and be looking for holy garment to wear?
No, those are symbols. So will the ephod too be a symbol? Will it be a symbol? Thank you.
Glory to God.
Look at verse 6. It says, and thou shalt make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet and fine twine linen, and cunning work. You see that? Ephod. Verse 8. And the crudel griddle of the ephod, which is upon it, it shall be of the same, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, of purple, of scarlet, of fine twine linen.
Hallelujah.
And verse 12 quickly.
I'm just running it. You should just read everything together.
And thou shalt put two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod. We're going to see what those two stones are. That is actually the Urim and the Thummim.
Amen.
Amen. So you shall put two stones upon it. Right? Which? Okay. Upon the shoulder of the ephod, for stones of memorial under the children of Israel. And they shall bear the name. Shall bear their names before the Lord upon the two shoulders for a memorial. Do you see that?
Hallelujah.
So it's used for what? By the priest. Look at verse 15. It says, and thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment. He calls it now of judgment. With cunning works after the works of the ephod. And thou shalt make it of gold, blue, of purple. So that means the ephod is for judgment.
Amen.
You can put it there, discernment. Judgment, discernment. Can you see that? Verse 25. For discernment. 25. It says, and the other two ends of the two wooden tails, thou shalt fasten unto the two arches and pull them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod before it. Hallelujah. Look at chapter 29. Chapter 29. Are you there? Verse 5. It says, and thou shalt make the garment and put upon Aaron the coat and the robe of the ephod and the ephod and the breastplate and griddle him with the curious griddle of the ephod. So the ephod is tied on his body. Did you see that? It's on him. We're going to see where the ephod will be placed. Hallelujah. Chapter 35. Verse 9. 35 verse 9. It says, and the all stone and the stones to be set for the ephod for the breastplate. And 27. It says, and the rulers brought oil stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastplate. So it's for the breastplate. Now take note, we said it's for judgment earlier on.
Hallelujah.
It won't by the priest for judgment, what you call discernment. Now, it is, and take note, it's going to be holy. So, shall we say it's a supernatural dress? Right? Right? It's holy, supernatural. So, it's going to, so that means the ephod, whatever it's going to be, will be supernatural.
Amen.
Spiritual. It will connote a spiritual meaning, a supernatural meaning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So, we can say the ephod is to showcase the supernatural. Leviticus chapter 8. Quickly, so now we don't lose sight of this. We'll see chapter 8, verse 7, but we'll read verse 8 later. Verse 7. It says, and put on him, which is Aaron, put on him the coat and girdle him with the girdle and clothe him with the robe and put the ephod upon him and girdle him with the curious griddle of the ephod and bound it unto him wherewith. Did you see that?
Hallelujah.
We'll get to verse 8 shortly. I pray I get that time too. Okay. It answered. Okay, I have here. The ephod is one to show supernatural. When you wear the ephod, is a supernatural dress. So it's a spiritual holy dress.
Amen.
So when you are wearing the garment of the priesthood with the ephod on it, it's you are just take your supernatural spiritual.
Amen.
Amen.
Supernatural spiritual.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
In 1 Samuel 2:8, Samuel was one day before. 1 Samuel 2:8. Verse 8, are you right? It says, and he raised up the poor out of the dust, and filled up the beggars in the dungeon to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set... What am I reading? 1 Samuel 2:18. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Do you see that? So, as a child, he was already a priest. Did you see that? A prophet of God. So the prophets will wear the ephod to minister. This is that it's for ministry. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. So we wear it to minister. And it will be for ministry, it will be for worship. So the ephod is one for worship. Right? Hallelujah. Look at verses 28. I'll just be fast a bit. Okay. And this is a prophecy to Eli. And did I choose him out of the tribe of Israel to be my priest? Now he says, as someone says, and there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, did I clearly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? Did I choose him out of all the tribe of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon my altar, to burn incense, and to wear the ephod before me? And did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings named by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore, keep ye as my sacrifice and as my offering. So, this is judgment to him, but he mentions the ephod there that the priests wear. I was referring to the priesthood under the word of Eli. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Samuel 14. Quickly. You see that it's worn by the priest. Spoke about Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. So it is worn by the priest. Obey me. Hallelujah. Amen. 1 Samuel 23. Hope you're understanding me. Hope you're following me, rather. Okay. I need us to read this together. I'll just take out verse 6. I'm going to read this from verse 1. I'll start from verse 1, quickly. It's going to be a fast one. Then they told David, saying, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah. Fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floor. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go and smite these Philistines? And the Lord said unto David, go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah. Now we're going to see how God said to him to go. Amen. Okay. And David's men said unto him, behold, we'll be afraid here in Judah. How much more then he will come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines? And David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thy hand. So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their captive and smote them with great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Abimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. Did you see that? And it was told Saul that David has come to Keilah. And Saul said, go. God has delivered him unto my hand. For he is shut in by entering into a town that has gates and bars. So Saul called all the people gathered to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said unto Abiathar the priest, bring hither the ephod. You see that? He brought the ephod. Then said David unto the Lord of Israel, thy servant had certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up to his hand? Will Saul come down as
Thy servant has heard, O Lord of Israel, beseech thee, tell thy servant. And the Lord said, he will come down. Then said David, will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men unto the hands of Saul? And the Lord said, they will deliver thee up. And David and his men, which were about 600, rose and departed out of Keilah and went in search of the cuckoo.
The Jaffa. Who sent them there? The Lord. By how? The same people. They inquired of the Lord again. Saul is coming. They asked the Lord, should we go? God said, go. That's the ephod. The ephod doesn't speak, but I'm going to tell you this. The ephod has two lights. I thought about it. I said, if you fall in the sense, whatever, light by, what's the name of this guy? You guys call him? The guy that made bulb. Alex Ferguson. Okay, I thought I heard Alex Ferguson. I want to say, man, you have entered your brain. Yeah, either Faraday or Friday. You guys, I give. Give me some balance on one side. Edinson, Adi, Adamson. Okay. But before they had awareness of all those things, there was light in those days, and it was supernatural light. So when you inquire, now let me tell you how the ephod is used. The ephod is for, like I said, it's for judgment. And the ephod only gives two signals. Remember I told you when I was defining the inward witness, I didn't say it that way today because I was going to talk about the ephod. Now, I define it according to Kenneth Hagin. I think Kenneth Hagin will say the inward witness just gives you two signals, a red and a green light. Right? Green light, go. Red light, don't go. So that was how it was. When you inquire by the ephod, why am I doing my as well as inquire by God? But it's similar to that. Ephod. But God will accommodate it in their world. But this one, they did not do like this. Praise it. They will wait. Anyway, so they will inquire. So when he gives the red light, don't go. It is, God is saying don't go. When he gives this light, he says go. This is that. That's the ephod. Amen. And that is where you now have the Urim and Thummim. I'm coming to Urim and Thummim. I've just explained the Urim and Thummim. So go or not to go. Do you see that? Amen. So now, inquired of the Lord. Say God, no. Say Saul, go come to God. You know. But should I go? God said, go. Urim. Bam! Now he now wanted to run away. When he heard, as I said, Saul will come. God, I trust this guy. They will not deliver me. Pastor. Inquire, what's the inward witness telling you? As the inward witness, say, go get the guy, bring me Paul. So I say, what he Paul? Before I ask, we saw a call, bam bam! Saul is coming. Okay. Will these people deliver me? Bam! They are going to deliver you. Oh yeah, guys, Japsa. This one will die. Do you see that? Amen. So God delivered David out of danger with the ephod. Did you see that? With the what? Ephod. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hope you are with me. Hope you are following me. Okay. So, David knew by the ephod. Look at chapter 13. I think I will not have to read this, but you just have to read the same thing too. He knew by the ephod. Chapter 13 from verse 7 to 9. He knew by the ephod. Also read 1 Samuel 6:14. And 1 Chronicles 16:27. So when God was going to speak to the children of Israel in Hosea, chapter 3, he told them there will be no ephod. They will not discern him. That's what it means. Because the ephod was for discernment. Hope you're following me. Amen. Amen. Hope you're following me. The ephod is for what? Discernment. Hosea 3. Hosea 3 verse 3 verse 4. It says, for the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king. That means they will not have direction. Do you see that? Without a prince and without a sacrifice. and without an image, and without an epos, and without a teraphim. Many they will not have direction.
Amen. Amen. Then you will come back and seek the Lord. Hallelujah.
So without an epos, they will not have direction. That is, they will be without, that will be, they will be without discernment.
Hallelujah.
So we said, on that epos, you have the Urim and the Thummim. In Exodus 28, let's see a bit about the Urim and Thummim. Exodus 28. Quickly. Exodus 28. Quickly. I think I can rush this. Exodus 28. Are you there? Verse 30. That's like 3 verses to the end. It says there, it says, and thou shalt put the breastplate of judgment. Watch it. He called it breastplate of judgment, the Urim and the Thummim. Now the Urim and the Thummim is just the same of calling the word ephod. You see that? Amen. Remember, what was called breastplate of judgment is what? The ephod that we read. Right? He now calls it here the Urim and the Thummim. And they shall wear it upon Aaron's what? Upon Aaron's what? Upon Aaron's what? In what? Is that not showing you inward? It will be an inward thing. Upon the heart. The spirit. The spirit bear witness with our spirit. Can you see what it means? Upon Aaron's heart. Hallelujah. And it will be for judgment. Hallelujah. Amen. That it may bear the iniquities of the holy things, which men of Israel shall hallow in their holy gifts, and it shall be weighed upon his forehead, and that he may accept before the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So the location is the heart. Now let's see that Leviticus chapter 8 again, verses 8. Go away from verse 7 into 8. Now we understand what I did show you. He said, I've always said unto Aaron, Leviticus 8, I'm reading now. Leviticus 8, from verse 8. He says, from verse 7, and he shall put on the coat and girdle him with the girdle and clothe him with the robe and put the ephod upon him and girdle him with the clear girdle of the ephod and bound it unto him wherewith. Right? Verse 8, and he shall put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate of the Urim and the Thummim. You see that? The Urim, so the ephod is Urim and Thummim. Hope you are following that. Hallelujah. So the Urim and Thummim is worn by the priest. And is used to inquire. And the inquiry is not whether to go, whether it's not stuck. The inquiry is go or not. Do or not. So to this world, right? What is the fulfillment of that symbol? We now bear the emotions of the Spirit. Hallelujah. We now bear the witness of the Spirit to tell us whether to go or not to go. Remember I said it is fact that is exposed to it. Just like David. David had to expose the facts to it. Would Saul come or not come? Did you see that? Facts must be exposed to it. Hallelujah. Amen. Should I do this or not do it? Should I do this or not? So you expose to the Spirit of God. The witness of God's Spirit inside. You're not necessarily going to hear, oh my son, no. You just be that push not to do it. Amen. Do it or not to do it. You just have that restraint or that allowance to go ahead. Hallelujah. Amen. And I said God wants us in these days to follow the inward witness in our daily life. In these days. Hallelujah. These days of supernatural habits. In how we win souls. How we even go out in discipling men. Follow the inward witness. Go there. Go there. Go there. Go this way. You have that strong witness. Hallelujah. I gave you an example of how I was going for a youth conference years back. And I and my friend who planned to go for that youth conference. But I made up my mind that I was going. So I was going to his house to go call him, and then I had that strong move not to go again. Well, I said something was pulling me off. I had gone straight to out of field.
Amen.
Just if I was at S.A. just to get there. And, you know, I was about to cross that road towards Atosis, and they would start drawing me to go my way down to PWD. It was just a move. It's not that I began to go like this, though. No. But you just have that strong urge not to go anymore. Unexplainable with words, but you know this is what it is. So I just turned. Just let me just go. I had a wonderful meeting. So the next day I was just feeling bad that I didn't go to. Let me go and tell him I'm sorry. He will understand. When I got there, he now told me, thank God I didn't come. That means his father would have talked me out too. His father talked him out. So be thank God you did not come. If not, you'd have been talked out. And some of the things that I know today was because I attended that youth conference. Some of the things that kept me burning for the Lord was I attended that youth conference. I know meetings that changed my life. Hallelujah. Now imagine I didn't go. Imagine I didn't go. Hallelujah. Amen. Those were the meetings where Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said something like, the Lord told him that the men, I needed that word because God had told me something similar before. So that was a confirmation. I had to hear it. That the Lord told him that the men that would pioneer things, especially in the move of God's Spirit in these days, will come from the influence of his voice. And that was what the Lord told me before then. That I should be under the influence of his voice then. That is the truth. Hallelujah. And that was, I needed to hear that at that point. Amen. So I was now much stronger in not allowing other voices. What that did for me was I shut my ears to every other thing. Anybody wants to share? I'll just follow him. I'll just listen to his words. Hope you are with me. I thank God I was there. Hope you are with me. Thank God I was there. Those things are things that strengthened us in the work of ministry. Glory to God. Strengthened us. Imagine I was hearing different things. Maybe by now I'll be washing, doing feet washing service. Just go ahead, bring out your shoe. Let me wash your feet. Maybe some people will be spraying insecticide by today. But something kept me. We recognize those kind of meetings. Hallelujah. Recognize those kind of meetings. That changes your life. That changes your life. So I usually say, well, imagine I didn't go. Somebody told me that, thank God you didn't come. My father would have talked you out. I just said, thank you, Jesus. And I went ahead. I couldn't explain that until years after what really happened. When I look back, I said, this is the inward witness. I couldn't even explain that was the inward witness. But this is the inward witness. God led me not to go there. Hallelujah. He's strong. And I said, that is not fear. The inward witness is not fear. It's not anxiety. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I guess my time is for friends. Yeah. We're going to continue next week. I wish I could end this today. We're going to continue next week. Hallelujah. There's no rush. We're not going anywhere. Amen. Are you going for first flight? Have you booked first flight? So we are here. Amen. We'll get to 100 years together. So no rush. Have you? So we can continue next week. Hallelujah. We can continue next week. I thought I could get to David, but we'll get there. Hallelujah. It's by the epoch. And then we'll now look at it in our world today. Remember, I also promised showing us, almost promised showing us, also promised showing us, how do you now handle prophecy? Right? I promised showing us that. So we can end today. We're going to look at prophecy. How do I handle prophecy? You must always know how to handle prophecies, not to despise them. I said that to you. Don't despise prophecies. You must learn how to handle it. Glory to God. How to look at it. And then know this is what it's for. How to use prophecies. Hallelujah. You must know how to use prophecies. How to use it. And I'll teach it all in this way. So even if this is, keep increasing every week. We'll still be here. Just keep following God's leading. Is that not it? Thank you. Glory to God. Even if I have other things I want to teach, but it's not by how long. I mean, not that I just following the leading of learn something this evening. I just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord.